Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thank you for your prayers. For those of you that know, I've been just dealing with sick stuff. Still got a little bit lingering stuff. But one of the benefits is I get like a lower baritone voice. So, yeah. So we get that. I'll be doing some Barry White at the end of the service. So, question. Whale or fish? Whale or fish? Was Jonah swallowed by a whale or a fish?
Fish.
No, wait. First of all, why am I even talking about Jonah? Why am I asking about Jonah? Well, our sermon series over the next couple of weeks that Matt kicked off last week? Matt kicked it off is called Hope Revealed. There it is, beautiful. Hope Revealed. That's our series. It's all birthed out of Matt's wonder brainchild Bible nerdiness, which I totally participated in. He talked about it last week. He says it's actually born out of this deep theological concept called Christological typology. Christological typology, Matt said, is where we're going. That's where we get the term hope revealed. But what is Christological typology again? Really, in my book, what Christological typology is, it's being able to see references or images or ideas and concepts of Jesus in the Old Testament, predominantly in the Old Testament. That's all that means. So for me, what that actually is, those are Jesus Easter eggs. So Jesus Easter eggs, and we better be having some of those at Easter in the park. Jesus Easter eggs, and sometimes we use this term, we have this idea even in movies and in video games and stuff, is where embedded or hidden in the movie is like a little reference. And the really into it people will get together and afterwards and go, hey, did you get that? Did you get the Easter egg? Did you see where there was Darth Vader's helmet was actually sitting on the desk there on the side? That's an Easter egg. So biblically, we have those. We have Jesus Easter eggs in the Old Testament. And that's the hope that we're looking to find. That's the hope that we're looking to have revealed for us is those references of Jesus in the Old Testament that we're already talking about. And presenting Jesus even before he came into the world, hundreds and hundreds maybe of years ago. So when Matt said, hey, we're going to do the Christological typology, I was like, yes, dude. Yeah, because I'm a Bible nerd like you. I said, but we can't call it that though. Hope revealed. He says, which one do you want to do? Because, you know, we could do, and he started off with the Joseph. And so then I go, dude, Jonah. I'm all about the Jonah. I want Jonah. Why did I choose Jonah? Because it's an easy egg. Jonah is an easy egg in that you don't have to guess about whether or not it's a Christological typology. You know why not? Because Jesus said so himself. Matthew 12, verse 40, this is what Jesus says. Jesus spoke, these actually would be in the old Bibles, we're in red, because this is Jesus' words. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, fish. So as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a thing, so the Son of Man, that's Jesus' reference to himself. So the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Boom, Christological typology, without a doubt, because Jesus said so. So I said, that's the one I want. I want that one, because it's an easy peasy egg. It's an easy egg. Jesus apparently wants us to know something about those three nights in the dark that both he and Jonah share. He said, there's something about these three nights in the dark. Jonah had it, and I have it, and I want you to think about that. So that being said, who's Jonah? I'm not going to assume that we all know who Jonah is, even though we may be very familiar with the story, but I can't assume that anymore either. I'm discovering, once again, every day, many of you, and I keep talking about this, but it's what I do when I'm not here. I'm a professor over at Life Pacific University. And in my classes, I am discovering the fact always that time changes rapidly, and the things that you think people get, they don't get them anymore. Right. I could say something and it was like, who, what? Right. Even I could say, like, you know, the name of like some great movie star like Al Pacino, and half the room goes, who? I was like, what? So I can't assume that we all know who Jonah is, or that this man spent three dark nights inside of a creature. Even if Jesus wants us to go there, I can't assume that we all know this. So who is Jonah? Well, Jonah was an ancient prophet of God. An ancient prophet of God out of ancient Israel. And when I say ancient, I mean approximately 800 BC. That means 800 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Jonah. So if you translate that into now time, 3,000 years ago. That's long. That's a long time. 3,000 years ago, God commanded a man named Jonah to go preach, because that's what the prophets did. God commanded these men to go and preach and declare his truths to certain places. And at this time, it was ancient Israel. His contemporaries and Amos and other prophets that are in our Old Testament. This is what they were doing. The interesting thing about Jonah, when God spoke to Jonah and God commanded Jonah to go and preach, he did not send him to Israel. God sent him, if you know the song, he was sent to Nineveh. Nineveh, they aren't Jews. They're pagan Assyrians. So when God told Jonah, hey, Jonah, I got a prophet job for you. He goes, okay, I'm down for that. He goes, I want you to go preach to those Assyrians. He says, no. My fellow Jews, I'll go preach to. But Assyrians? I'm not going to go preach to no Assyrians. So this is what Jonah did. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, rise up. Go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, that's a port city, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, that's way out in the nowhere. So he paid the fare, and he went down into it, to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of God. One, mistake. You're never going to get away from the presence. What's Jonah thinking? This guy's supposed to be a prophet. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. And when the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to their God, small g, to their God, and they even hurled cargo that was in the ship out into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had laid down and was snoozing away. He was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean? You sleep? Rise up, get up. Call out to your God. Perhaps God will give thought to us that we might not perish. So you see what's going on here. Jonah thinks, I'm going to get away from God, so I'm going to go take a trip way out and get on Carnival and go way out and get away. And God's like, no. So God causes a great storm and tosses the sea, and all the sailors, these ancient men, are going, oh, something's definitely wrong. Somebody pissed off their God. Well, I don't know who it is. And so everybody starts praying to their gods because it's ancient times and everyone's doing all this stuff. And then the captain goes, where's that other dude that booked with us that got a ticket? And I was like, no, he goes. And he goes downstairs and Jonah is like asleep. And he's like, what are you doing? You need to be calling out to your God because we are about to die right now. So Jonah gets up. And all the other sailors, they say to one another, come on, let's cast lots. Let's find out what's going on here. Let's cast lots that we might know on whose account the evil has come upon us. So they cast lots. And guess what? The mark, the lot, fell on Jonah. And they said to him, what's your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? What people are you? What's your social security number? Oh, no. He said, who are you? What's going on with you? Because the mark has fallen on you. And he said to them, I'm a Hebrew, another term for an Israelite. And I fear the Lord, capital L. He says, I serve the one almighty God, the God of heaven, the God who made the sea and the dry land. And then the men were exceedingly afraid. I'm like, what? What is this that you've done to us? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And then they said to him, what do we do now? What do we do with you that the sea might quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, guys, just pick me up and throw me overboard. Throw me into the sea and the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that the great tempest has come upon you. But nevertheless, they rowed harder to get back to the dry land. They tried to say, no, okay, we'll try something else. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. And therefore they called out to the Lord, oh Lord, capital L, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done it as you please. So they picked up Jonah and they hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased. It stopped. It's raging. And everything went. And then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. And they offered a sacrifice to God. And they made vows to him. So here's Jonah still in the ocean. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish. His voice works good. For Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. But wait. After 3 days and after three nights, and the Lord spoke to the fish. Hey, buddy. He said, he whispered something to the fish. It was so awful that the fish vomited Jonah on the dry land. Yeah, I just wonder what God said to the fish. He said, that dude didn't take a bath. He's like. So God commanded Jonah to preach to pagan Nineveh. And Jonah said, nah. And he disobeys. And he tries to flee God. He ends up in the ocean and is swallowed by a whale or a fish?
Fish.
Okay, so this is how it goes, folks. Just as recent as just 200 years ago, people couldn't figure out what a whale was. Look at this old chart from 200 years ago, just 200 years ago in the 1800s. There's a fish chart. Somebody drew all the fish. If you look closely at the bottom, zoom in, whale. On the fish chart. Jonah could have been swallowed by a whale because people thought whales were fish. But he also could have been swallowed by a fish. You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because that's not the point. 200 years they didn't know, 3,000 years they didn't know. But the point is that that's not the point. That doesn't matter. What does matter is that after the thing, after the whale fish vomits Jonah, he goes and preaches to Nineveh, the Assyrian city. And guess what happens when the Jewish man that just spent three luscious nights inside of the beast, what happens when he preaches to the Assyrians? Immediately, they repent. They repent and they turn from their wicked ways and they call on God. God forgives them and he pulls back his impending doom. And that's the story of Jonah. And that's where Jesus goes. Jesus says, Christological typology, I am like Jonah, for we both spent three nights in the dark. Jesus tells this to the Pharisees, that he is like Jonah. But why still? My always question, why does Jesus go there? Why is Jesus talking about Jonah? Why does Jesus, even though Jonah has three nights in the dark, and we know, present company, we know Jesus is going to experience three nights. But at the time of Jesus speaking this, nobody knows that. So why does Jesus go there? Why does Jesus reference this ancient Israelite prophet? Well, once again, it's all about the context. It's all about what's going on. It's all about what's happening with Jesus right at the moment. And guess what? No surprise. Once again, Jesus, as he's teaching and preaching, is being harassed by the local Pharisees, the astute, highly learned ruling class of teachers and teachers known as the Pharisees. We're always following Jesus and criticizing him and pointing fingers at him, watching him, harassing him. In fact, when Jesus speaks these words about Jonah, it's the same day as the sermon I preached the other Sunday when Jesus healed on the Sabbath. It's just a couple of words down the line. Jesus had been accused of teaching and preaching and healing on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees are just making trouble for him. They're criticizing Jesus. They're watching all the things he's doing and they're just bickering and talking about him and saying horrible things about him. In fact, they start to not only criticize him, but they begin to slander him. You see, they've seen his miracles. Jesus just healed a man's hand. Jesus is doing all these miracles. And right after Jesus does these incredible things, can you believe this? Guess what they say about him? They say, oh, no. All the people are going, look, this might be the guy. And the Pharisees go, oh, no. They go, yeah, but he healed. You know how he did that? Demons. You believe that? Demons. They actually look at Jesus, heal somebody, and they go, it's demons. That's how they did it. Jesus just said, you're a demon. It's like, they start accusing Jesus of being in league with the devil. But Jesus refutes them easily. He goes, dude, guys, It makes no sense. I see you're desperate and you're going there, but think about that. That makes no sense. This sickness and disease, which many times caused by darkness and evil and demonic things. And if I'm in league with Satan and then I undo that, that's Satan against Satan. That makes no sense. And they're like, oh, okay, I guess. So then the Pharisees asked Jesus, okay then, teacher, show us a sign. And when they ask for a sign, they're not just saying, show us another miracle. No, they're saying, show us a mark that you actually are one from heaven. Give us something spectacular. Dazzle us. We want to see something so that we'll know you're really or who you say you are or what everybody's saying about you. In fact, let's read that Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. This is where it all happens. This is Jesus. So some of the Pharisees, there they are, and the teachers of the law say to him, teacher, then, we want to see a sign from you. And the original language says, we want to see a miraculous, a heavenly sign, a mark that identifies you. We want to see a sign from you. And he answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign. This is an old term from the scripture. This is a term that the prophets used, that God spoke about parts of Israel that had just sold their hearts out, that had turned against God and lost a love for the one that brought them out of nothingness. And now they were serving other things. And God refers to them as a wicked and an adulterous generation, meaning they had given their love to someone else. And he looks at those Pharisees standing in his face, saying that all of his miracles are demonic. And then they go, well, okay, you got us there. Then give us a great sign. And Jesus goes, you wicked and adulterous generation, you ask for a sign. None's going to be given to you except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, that is also a whale, so the Son of Man will be there 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. But he doesn't stop there. He says, but the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation that you represent and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now something way greater than Jonah is here. Mm-hmm. Well, what are the implications? But you do not believe. Ooh. Whoa. So basically they go, Jesus, show us a sign. And he throws them an Easter egg. Really, he throws them an Easter egg. Because to us, when Jesus says, here's your sign, Jonah, 3 nights in the fish. We go, that's Jesus, 3 days in the tomb, rises up, glorious, everyone, you know, power of God. They don't know that. It hasn't happened yet. Right. So Jesus says, 3 nights in the dark, like Jonah, Easter egg, find it. Like, what's that? Jonah, Jesus, belly of the whale fish. Jesus throws them an egg. Unfortunately for them, a rotten egg. Yeah, for them. This sign of 3 dark nights is not a great thing when they hear it. It's their condemnation, Jesus says. These 3 dark nights do not bring light to you because your hearts are wicked. And guess what? Jesus tells them their future. Sad, sad future. Right. He says, you know what's going to happen to you because of the way you are and the condition of your hearts? when judgment comes, you will be damned. And Nineveh will stand there and go, hey, we believed and it was just Jonah. You got Jesus and you didn't believe. Yep. And from all of this, we get our Jesus Easter egg. Mm-hmm. But if I were you, I'd be going, gee, thanks, Rick. Some egg you gave us there. A condemnation egg. A sad egg. An egg of despair. Jesus' reference to Jonah is really not all that bright. Because in the setting that it is, it's a condemnation to the Pharisees. What kind of word is that? Have no fear. There are three wonderful things I want to give to you. Three wonderful things that come out of the three nights in the dark. You see, Jesus' reference, his allusion to the life of Jonah, is for sure a reference to his death, to his burial, and to his resurrection. There is no doubt. You guys are all right. You got it right. That is a reference to Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what it means. But undeniably, his following comments to the Pharisees, they are a foretelling word of their condemnation. Sad. We need to take, first of all, one hard lesson from that incident right there. This is our first lesson. Lesson one. Our hearts have the ability to deny any word, any sign, or any miracle of God. Our hearts do. It has that capacity. Ooh, we need to know that, because that's what's going on with the Pharisees. You see, the Pharisees had Jesus, the Almighty, the Son of God, standing right in front of them, doing miracles, and they still had the ability to shut that down. Right. Wow. Did you get that? They, within themselves, had the ability to take the miracle of God, to take the sign of God, to take the word of God, and shut it down. Right. Guess what? We all have that same ability. We all have that same potential. We all could be hearing from God. We could all be seeing a sign from God. We could all be having a miracle done from God. But yet, we all have the ability to say, I don't see no God here.
Come on, Rick. Mm-hmm.
I don't see nothing. We have that incredible power within our hearts to say yay or to say nay. But isn't that incredible? And we learn that from this. Because we see Jesus offering that sad word to the Pharisees. How did they get there? It's not like God doesn't love them. God loves all of them.
Right, right.
But yet they had within themselves such cold, stony, hardened hearts that the very miracle, the very word of God right in their face. And they said, yeah. No, that's demons.
Come on, Rick.
That's one of those.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So that's. Lesson numero uno. We all have the ability. Our hearts have the ability to deny any word, sign, or miracle of God. That's just a cautionary tale there. That's just to let us know. Where did that come from? God. He gave you that. He gave you the ability to say yes or no. He says, I'm not going to twist your arm. You are free. I created you free. And freely, this is what I would hope, that you would love me as much as I love you. That your hearts will be open to me. But it's your decision. It's all you. It's your decision. We need to know that. Paul even picks up on that. It's something that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:18. And sometimes we wonder about this. He said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Have you wondered how that works sometimes? In fact, the very same things that you used to read when you didn't know God, you go, how stupid is that? Now you read it, that you're a believer, oh my God, that is so sweet, Jesus' words to me. Why? Because your heart changed.
Right.
Your heart changed. And those very same words now, they are the word of God to you. They are now God's love letter to you. Whereas before, it goes, that's just some stupid ancient thing. But it's our hearts. So our hearts do have the ability now to even to say yes. And what do we learn from that? The second thing that we want to take here today. That Jesus' three nights in the dark are the opposite of condemnation. That what Jesus did in those three nights, it wasn't here to condemn. Although that's what the Pharisees did with it. But Jesus' three nights in the dark, the ones that he references with Jonah, those three nights are here to bring life. They're here to bring life, and they're here to bring life to every part of your life. They're here to bring life and light into every area of darkness. That for 3 days, Jesus was in darkness. For 3 nights, Jesus was in darkness. And all of what that was for was to bring you light. To bring us all light in every area and every facet of our lives. And what do we need to do with that? Learn not to do what the Pharisees did, but we learn to run towards and to discover every aspect of what Jesus gave to us. Every aspect of this great day that we're going to celebrate in just a couple of weeks, the Easter resurrection. We need to totally run to that and say, you know what? I want to discover and I want to open up every single thing that God ever intended for me to have through those 3 days and three nights. Yeah. That the resurrection means more than, oh yeah, one day of celebration and a couple of eggs the day before and all that. But it really means life to me. It really means change to me. It really means going forward and understanding the glory of God in my life.
Yeah, that's right.
That three nights in the dark are not a sign of condemnation, but it's God coming to me and offering me life. And the last thing that I just want to take with us, lesson three, that God desires to embrace everyone in his love and his forgiveness. Just like Nineveh. You see, Jesus pointed to Jonah for a good reason. Because Jonah was different. Jesus points to Jonah for the reason that he was different. That he didn't get sent to Israel. He got sent to Nineveh. He got sent to people further out. Further away. Deeper into the sins of the world, farther into the darkness. And that's where God sent Jonah.
Yeah.
Why? And why is Jesus identifying with that? Because he wants us to know it is God's desire to embrace everyone with his love and forgiveness. You see, Jonah struggled with that. That's how he ended up in the whale fish. He struggled with that. He couldn't understand. But that's what we need to understand and we need to get. It's like, you know what? This stuff is too good for just here. It's too good for just here. What I learned is that without reluctance, I need to take my message to the Ninevehs in my life.
Come on, that's so good,
right? The Ninevehs in my life.
Yeah.
Where is it that I'm resisting? Where do I not want to go? Yeah, could be. It could be right next door because those people played their music until 2 o'clock in the morning every single night, especially on Saturday night, right before you have to go to church. Oh, that's real. That's a real one right there. Just ask my wife. And I can't sleep with the windows open, then I have to close the windows. Nineveh right next door. You got it, Carlos. Oh my goodness. Where are my Ninevehs?
Yeah, that's good.
And guess what? That's where I need to go.
Yes.
That's where I need to go with this incredible message that God's love is there for them. And God's love was there for me. 3 nights in the dark, in a fish, in a whale, is our hope revealed. Bless you. Let's all stand as I pray for you. Dear Lord, I wondered why you were talking about Jonah. It's so sad. It is. That the Pharisees had their hearts so tightly shut up. They had allowed the influences of just their cynicism to just take their hearts and turn them into stone. So badly it was for them. You stood right in front of them. You stood right in front of them. And they couldn't see your glory. I pray, Lord Jesus, for myself and for all of us, that definitely not be the case for me. That whenever you speak to me, and you whisper to me, you call me in the middle of my dreams and my nights. As I'm down the road or I'm standing in line and I hear a whisper from you, that I'll acknowledge you, that I'll understand and I'll receive your word. That when I see your signs, I won't deny them. When I hear you and see you speaking to me, I'm not going to turn it away. Yeah. Lord, make our hearts tender to you. And if there's any hard and stony places in my heart that is just holding out, we know what those are. Places where we just like, no, I don't see. You're not talking about that, Lord. You're not talking about that in me. No, Lord. Soften those up. That your miracles can come in and be performed there in my life. Your word, the signs of God. And may I pick up, Lord, and continue to bring forward the incredible message of the glory of your resurrection. And not just as a catchphrase and happy Easter or happy resurrection, that I would truly understand what it is in my life. That I would discover it. Because it's new in certain places in all of our lives, no matter how long we've been walking with you. May I discover a newness again of the resurrection this year. May we all discover the newness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ this year again. A new place. It's not that same old Easter in the park, same old resurrection, same old Easter program. But in it, I experience and encounter you in a new way this year, afresh on me again. And with that fresh spirit and that fresh touch from you, may I be emboldened to take your message to all the Ninevehs in my life. Help me not to be afraid. Help me not to be resistant. But help me to go forward in your love, in your compassion, in your kindness. Jesus, all for your glory, by the power of your Spirit, for the Father's will be done on earth, just as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. And amen. You may be seated.